Yehoshua Perek Zayin. So last time we had just conquered the city of Jericho and destroyed the inhabitants, and supposedly, as we were obligated, to dedicate all the treasures that were captured as booty for Hashem. So now we see that didn't actually happen, and someone violated this ban, and the whole people are actually going to be blamed for it. So we see the communal responsibility. One person makes a mistake, and the whole tzibur suffers and is blamed. Vayimalu v'nei Yisrael mal b'cheirim. The Jewish people committed a treachery against the ban, meaning we didn't keep the rule to not partake of the loot. Vayikach Achan ben Karmi ben Zavdi ben Zerach l'mata Yehuda min acherim. And the name of the one individual, the whole community is blamed, but the one individual who did something wrong, his name was Achan, his father's name was Karmi, who was the son of Zevid, who was the son of Zerach, which we know Zerach was the son of Yehuda from Tamar. So he was a fourth generation from the tribe of Yehuda. So he took from the ban. We'll see the treasures that he took. Vayichar af Hashem b'vnei Yisrael. And it says Hashem was angry. It doesn't say Hashem was angry at Achan. Surely he was, but it says Hashem was angry at the whole Jewish people. Again, the communal responsibility. Vayishlach Yehoshua anashim Yericho ha'ai. So meanwhile, Yehoshua sends people, spies, from Jericho, where they've currently conquered, to the next city, Ai, which is the next place they want to attack. Asher im Beis Aven, which is situated next to a location known as Beit Aven. Mikedem, this is toward the east, Le Beit El. If you know where Beit El is, so just east of that is this new city of Ai. Vayomer Aleichem Lemur, Yehoshua told the spies, Alu v'raglu et ha'aretz. So go ahead and espionage that land. Again, the land of Ha'ai, which is the next target of conquest. Vayalu ha'anashim v'raglu et ha'ai. So those spies ascended and they spied out the city of Ai. Vayashuv el Yehoshua v'yamru elav. So the spies returned to Yehoshua and they told him the report of their spying. Al ya'al kol ha'am. Don't even bother bringing the whole nation. You know, you don't need a whole military force to conquer this little puny city, Kalpaim, Ish, Okishlosh, Salafim, Ish, Yalu. All you need is about 2,000, 3,000 soldiers. That will be enough. The Yaakov Asai, and they're going to smite the city of Ai, and that will be enough. Al Tayaga Shama Eskola Am, Kima Atema. You know, don't bother taking up the whole military force of the Jewish people because there's not many people in Ai to be reckoned with. Vayalu Mina Am Shama Kishlosh, Salafim, Ish. So that's what they did. They sent three Jewish soldiers, 3,000, to try and conquer Ai. But unfortunately, we'll see what happens. And again, this tragedy that we're about to read is a result, direct result, of the fact that we were not faithful to the ban that was imposed on the loot of Jericho. So Hashem doesn't give us protection if we don't obey the rules, quite literally. Vayanusu lifnei anshei ha'ai. In other words, the Jewish people fled as a result of the people of Ai who we did not, suffice it to say, we did not secure a perfect victory against them. We actually suffered quite a loss. We'll see how many people died, but we had to run away from them in retreat. So the people of Ai actually smote not just one or two, but 36 people. Now, if 36 people is not a bad track record if you're a human army, but this is supposed to be the divinely protected army of Hashem. So 36 people is a tremendous tragedy. Vayirdufum lifnei hashar es hashvarim. So the inhabitants of Ai pursued us from the city of the gate of Ai until a location known as Shvarim. The reason why it was called Shvarim is because there was such a great downfall, such a great calamity there, where the people of Ai destroyed many Jewish lives. Vayakum bamorad. And the people of Ai smote the Jewish soldiers on the descent, on a declining topography, I think is the word. Vayimas levav ha'am vayhi lamayim. And the dramatic result of this, of course, is that the heart of our nation became melted and it was like water. Vayikra Yehoshua simlosav. You can only imagine the great mourning that Yehoshua is experiencing now and all the people. So Yehoshua tears his garments. Vayipal alpanav arza, and he throws himself down on the ground. He falls on his face, lifnei Aron Hashem, in front of the Ark of God, ad ha'erev, all the way until the evening time. Hu v'zikne Yisrael. So they're davening their morning and trying to find favor in Hashem's eyes, and this is a real disaster. Vayalu afra al rosham, and they even put dirt on their heads as a sign of the sadness and mourning. Vayomer Yehoshua, aha Adonai Elohim, lama ha'evarta ha'avirasa amazasa yardim. Yehoshua is even questioning Hashem. He's saying, oh, this is terrible. Why, Hashem, why did you cross the Jewish people over the Jordan River? It's all a waste. All we're doing now is being delivered into the hands of the Amorites, and we're being destroyed. It would have even been better if we would stay on the east side of the Jordan and settle outside of this land. At least we would survive. Be Adonai. He's beseeching Hashem now, Yehoshua. Yehoshua continues, Ma Omar Achrei Asher Hafach Yisrael Oref Lifnei Oivav. What can I even say now that the Jewish people has had to turn their backs and flee away from their enemies? Again, this is an army that's supposed to have direct divine protection. So this is absolutely catastrophic that anybody, certainly 36 people, should perish in the Jewish battle. Vayishmu HaKenani V'chol Yoshvei Haaretz. So now the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land of Israel heard about this. V'nasabu Aleinu. Let me correct that. This is actually Yehoshua. He's still speaking. V'yishmu HaKenani. Yehoshua says, what's going to happen? The Canaanites are going to hear about this. V'kol Yoshvei Haaretz, and all the inhabitants of Israel are going to hear about this calamity. V'nasabu Aleinu. And they're going to turn their forces against us. V'hichrisu Eshemeinu Min Haaretz. And they're going to wipe our, literally, name off the face of the earth. U'ma ta'aseh lishmicha ha'gadol. What are you, Hashem, going to do about your great name? This is something we find many times in Tanakh, that the great Jewish leaders, Yehoshua and Moshe Rabbeinu before him, plead with Hashem using a line of argument that is, what will happen if the goyim get the best of us? What will be with your reputation, Hashem? So that's a principle in Tanakh, that one of Hashem's goals in the creation and the maintenance of the world is that Hashem should have a great and revered reputation in the world, not just by the Jewish people, that's for sure, but even by the Gentiles. So Yehoshua is saying, if the goyim wipe us out because we're subject to their attacks and you're not making us invincible, so what's going to be with your great name? Your reputation is on the line, and we know that Hashem's reputation amongst all the nations should be pristine, should be as perfect as possible. So this is what Yehoshua complained against Hashem, pleading. So Hashem now responds to Yehoshua, you should get up now. Why are you sort of, you know, falling over and mourning and beseeching like this? I'll explain to you what the reason, says Hashem to Yehoshua. Chati Yisrael, the Jewish people made a sin. Begam avru es brisi, and they violated my pact. Again, Hashem is blaming the whole nation, even though it was just one individual, but this is the principle that all Jews are responsible for each other. Right? It's not enough that you're doing the right thing or I'm doing the right thing, but we each have to make sure, and everyone has to make sure, that their fellow is also doing the correct thing. So Hashem says they've violated the pact, Asher Tzivisi Osam, which I've commanded them. Again, that was the ban that Yehoshua instructed them not to take from the loot of Yericho. V'gam lakhu min acherim, and they took from the forbidden goods. V'gam ganvu, and they stole it. V'gam kichashu, and not only they stole it under cover of darkness, right? It wasn't out in the open, it was in secrecy, and they even denied it. And again, this is all referring to one individual, that Achan took it when nobody was looking, and now he's not admitting, or not yet admitting, that he stole it. V'gam samu bichlehem. No, that's a reference that he put it in his container, meaning not only he took a person who steals, to a degree, even though it's still wrong, to a degree it's excusable or understandable if he's stealing for out of necessity. But if he's stealing to have extra luxuries that he doesn't even need, which we're going to see, the items which Achan took were definitely luxuries that were not essentials of life, and therefore it's all the more blameworthy. So these are the different levels of injustice that were committed. Number one, they took from they violated Hashem's command. He took from the ban. He not only took it in the open, but it was under cover of darkness. So that's showing like, oh, Hashem can't see me. And he didn't admit his sin yet. He denied it. And also he took extra. It wasn't essentials. It was these luxury items, as we'll see. V'lo yuchlu b'nei Yisrael lakum lifnei oyveihem. This is Hashem continuing to speak to Yehoshua, telling them the catastrophic result of the violation of the ban of Jericho. Velo yuchlu b'nei Yisrael lakum lifnei oyveihem. The Jews will not be able to stand up against their enemies, rather, or if yifnu lifnei oyveihem. They will turn their backs and face away from their enemies. Ki hayu lecheirim. Because the Jewish people, as a result of violating the ban, will become destined for destruction. Lo osif lihi osimachem. I, Hashem, will no longer be with them, says Hashem to Yoshua. Im lo sashmiru hacherim mikirbechem. Unless you get rid of and you destroy the contraband, the forbidden fruits that have been taken from the forbidden loot. Kum, kadesh ha'am. Hashem continues to speak to Yoshua and commands him, you should get up and sanctify the people. Ve'amarta hiskadshu lamachar. Purify yourselves, make yourselves holy for tomorrow. Ki cho amar Hashem. Because, again, this is Hashem telling Yoshua what to tell the people when they prepare tomorrow. Hashem says the following, Hashem Elokei Yisrael, the God of Israel, Cherem bekirbechem Yisrael. There is a violation of the ban amongst you, Jewish people. Lo tucha lakum lifnei oyveicha. You will not be able to stand up against, to oppose your enemies. Ad hasirchem hacherem bekirbechem. Unless, or until, you get rid of that forbidden goods, the banned loot from amongst you. V'nikraftem baboker l'shivteichem. So, you're going to approach in the morning by tribes. V'haya hashevet asher yilkedenu Hashem. And as the Jewish people approach one tribe at a time, the tribe which is trapped by Hashem, yikrav l'mishpachos. So then, that trapped tribe is going to come forward by family, one at a time. V'mishpacha asher yilkedenu Hashem. And the family which Hashem traps, tikrav labatim, by households of that family, will come one at a time. V'habayis asher yilkedenu Hashem. And then the household which Hashem traps, yikrav ligvarim. So then each man of that household will come forth. So what's going to happen is that Hashem knows who did it. And the perpetrator knows who did it, but nobody else knows. So there's going to be a selection process. So all tribes, one at a time, will come forth. Once the tribe has been nabbed, so then all the sub-families within that tribe will approach, and one of them will be nabbed. And then amongst that mishpacha, all of the households, which is a further subunit, will approach, and whichever bayit is nabbed, is caught, is trapped, so then all the people, all the men of that household will be presented. So you have four levels of selection. Now, how are they going to be trapped? So the commentaries say is that they would walk before the ark and they would be paralyzed. It's actually scary to visualize that. Imagine all the people walking in front of the ark, one tribe at a time, and then one family at a time, and so on, down through the selection layers. And the subgroup, which actually has to freeze in motion, they're going to not be able to move. So that is the indication that this is the one. This is the nabbing that we've been referring to. As the verse refers to it, as the Hashem trapping them. V'haya hanilkad b'cherem, yisaref ba'ish. The one who is caught as the violator of the ban shall be burnt in fire. Also v'eskola shelo, him and everything that belongs to him. Why? Why is he being punished in fire? That seems a very harsh punishment. The answer is, ki avar es bris Hashem, he violated the covenant of God, v'chiyasa nevala b'Yisrael, and he committed a nevala, something despicable in the Jewish people. And by the way, it's not just that he broke the rules and violated the ban of the loot of Jericho, but he therefore caused, as a result, the catastrophe of the casualties at Ha'ai, not to mention the disheartening of the people, and therefore he's going to be punished. This is very strict. Vayashkem Yehoshua baboker. Yehoshua got up early in the morning. Vayakrev es Yisrael lishvata. And he caused each of the tribes of the Jewish people to come forward, one at a time. So now, of the 12 tribes, which one is going to be trapped? Which one is caught? Vayilachit shevet Yehuda. The tribe of Yehuda, Judah, is caught. Okay, now we'll go down one layer. Subgroups. Vayakrev es mishpachas Yehuda. Vayilkad es mishpachas Hazarchim. So amongst the tribes of Yehuda, we know Yehuda had several sons. One of them was Zerach. So the subgroup of Zerach, or they call it Zarchi, is caught. Vayakrev es mishpachas Zerachi. Now, amongst the family of Zerach, who amongst his descendants? Lagharim vayilached Zavdi. So Zavdi was the further subgroup. Now, who amongst them? Vayakrev es Beso, Lagvarim. So again, the four layers you have is the tribe of Yehuda, the mishpacha within Yehuda is Zerach, and then the bayit within Zerach is Zabdi. And then the fourth layer is the men amongst the house of Zabdi. Is who's that? We're going to see. Vayilached Achan ben Karmi ben Zabdi. So Achan, he's the perpetrator here. So he was, let's just count all the generations. Achan is the criminal. And his father was Karmi ben Zabdi ben Zerach Lamata Yehuda. So those are the four layers. Just to be aware, there's Yehuda, whose son was Zerach, and then the grandson was Zavdi, and the great-grandson was Karmi, and then Achan. See, there's really five layers here, but I guess the Bayit includes not just one, but two, at least two generations. So that's why it sounds like an inconsistency, right? You have Yehuda is number one, that's the Shevet. The Mishpacha is Zerach, then the Bayit is Zavdi, and then the Gever within that Bayit is Achan ben Karmi, but that's all within a subgroup of Zavdi. So he was the suspect we were looking for. Actually, no, he wasn't suspect. The people had no idea who it was. So, Vayomer Yehoshua al Achan. So now, Yehoshua is going to address Achan now, and he says to the criminal, he says, Bini, sim na chavod Lashem. He says, my son, listen to how gently Yehoshua tries to approach him, even though he's going to get severely punished, but Yehoshua tries to coax him into admitting it and, you know, say what you did wrong and it'll be okay. Sim na chavod l'Hashem. Show honor to God, Elokei Israel, the God of Israel. V'sen lo todah. Make an admission. Here, todah doesn't mean thanks, but it means admission. V'haged nali. Tell me, ma'asisa. What did you do? Al techached bimeni. Don't withhold anything from me. Just tell me everything. Vayan Achan es Yehoshua vayamar. So Achan answered Yehoshua and he said, Amna. Yep. Indeed, Anochi Chatasi. I did sin. Lashem Elokei Israel. I sinned against Hashem, the God of Israel. The Kazos v'Kazos Asisi. I did that and I did this. So he tells him everything he did. And the commentaries say here that Yehoshua wanted Achan to admit, but Achan didn't want to admit. Or Yehoshua saw that he had to like talk him into it. So he even said to him, even though it doesn't say this in the Psukim, but Yehoshua told Achan, you're not going to get punished. It's going to be okay. Just admit, and you're going to be set free. So that actually means that Yehoshua tricked Achan. Achan was guilty. He didn't want to admit. Yehoshua wanted him to admit. And then he said, if you admit, you're not going to get punished. And then he admits, and we're going to see soon that he is punished anyway. So that is very hard to understand. Why? How is that possible? Yehoshua tricked him to admitting? So I like the answer that Rav Avigdor Miller and Zecher Tzadik Livracha said, is that yes. That's how important it is to admit that I have done something wrong. That's something that we all face in our life sometime or other, if we like to admit it or not. But Yehoshua understood that it's so important as a part of tshuva, as a part of just recognizing that one's own failings, it's so important that a person should recognize and admit, I was wrong, so that he's even willing to trick Achan into doing it. Va'erev ha-shalal, aderes shinar. So Achan continues. He said, "What?" And I saw amongst the loot, I saw a Babylonian cloak. It sounds like it was some kind of a style of garment that was very nice. Aderet is like a garment that's a mantle or a cloak or something that you wear, like a talit, something like that. And Aderet Shinar is Bavel, so that seems to be the style that where it was from or how it was made. Aderet Shinar Achat Tova, it was a fine quality Babylonian mantle. Umasayim Shkalim, again, we're describing what is the loot, which portion of the loot did Achan take. So the first item was the mantle, the second item is Umasayim Shkalim Kesef, 200 silver shekels. Now, I can't tell you exactly how much that is, but I can tell you that it's a lot more than it is nowadays. 200 shekels nowadays is probably nothing compared to what he took in terms of these 200 silver shekels. But what I can tell you is that Abraham bought the Maros HaMachpelah for 400 shekels. I don't know if that was exactly the same currency that we're using here, because that was Over LaSocher, universal coins, and here it doesn't say that. But I remember Rav Mordechai Becher said that at the time of Abraham, the Code of Hammurabi says that an average salary for a whole year was 6 shekels. So that shows how exorbitant the price of the Maros HaMachpelah was that Abraham bought, 400. And this is no small sum either, this is 200. So if we see the figure of 200 shekalim kesef, you can be sure that it's a huge amount. Ulashon zahav echad, and literally a golden tongue. But a tongue is just describing the shape. It's a long, elongated piece of gold. That's the shape it was. You know, sometimes gold comes in nuggets, sometimes it comes in tablet shapes, but this one was in the shape of a lashon. It means it was a long. Hamishim shkalim, mishkalo, the weight. Remember, the weight of the silver, or the value of the silver was 200 shekel, and the weight of the gold was 50 shekel. But we know that was just the weight of the gold. But the value of gold is much more than silver, so 50 shekels worth of gold is probably worth a lot more than 200 shekels of silver. Ve'echmedeim ve'ekachim, and I desired them, and I took them. This is Achan, he's describing everything he did. Ve'hinam temunim ba'aretz, behold, where are they? They are buried in the ground, betoch ha'ohali, inside my tent, meaning we're going to see they go dig it up very soon. He's describing where it can be found. V'ha'kesef tachteha. So this loot is in my tent, underneath the ground, and the silver is underneath. I guess it means he didn't bury everything side by side. He buried the mantle and the gold on the top, and then the silver he buried in a deeper portion of the hole. V'yishlach Yehoshua malachim, v'yarutzo ha'ohala. So Yehoshua sent messengers, and they ran to the tent, Achan's tent, because they're going to dig up the contraband now. They have to take these forbidden goods, and Hashem says, you know, we got to get rid of it if you want to have success for the nation. V'hinei t'muna be'ohalo. Behold, it was buried in his tent. V'ha'kesef tachteh. And the silver was beneath, just like Achan described it. V'yikachu mitoch ha'ohel. The spies that Yehoshua had sent, took the loot from the tent. V'yivim el Yehoshua. They took the loot to Yehoshua. Vel Kol Bnei Israel, and to the whole Jewish people is also, you know, waiting expectantly to see what's going to be the end and conclusion of this drama. Vayatzikum lifnei Hashem, they melted them, not melted, they strew them out, they splayed them out before Hashem. In other words, the word vayatzikum means to pour, but it doesn't mean they pour like melted. It means they dumped it out before Hashem. They sort of, you know, showed it for everyone, for all eyes to see, and for Hashem to see, so to speak, that they had found the loot which had been taken against the law. So now, Yehoshua took Achan, and it calls him Achan ben Zerach. Now, if you remember, Zerach wasn't his father's name. Zerach was his great-grandfather's name. Remember, it was Achan ben Carmi, ben Zavdi, ben Zerach. But I understand it's referring to him by his subdivision of the tribe. It doesn't call him Achan from the tribe of Judah, it calls him Achan from the subunit of the tribe of Judah, which is Zerach. But again, don't think that his father's name was Zerach just because here we're calling him Achan ben Zerach. That was his great-grandpa. So in addition to taking the criminal, Achan, Yehoshua took the loot, the silver, the mantle, and the golden piece. Ves banav ves benosav, also Achan's sons and daughters. Ves shorav ves chamorav ves tzona ves oalo, and his ox. Now the word ox probably means his oxen. It doesn't have to mean singular, just because it's written in the singular. His oxen, his donkeys, and his flocks of sheep. Ves oalo, and his tent. Ves kol, his estate. His whole estate is going here to be punished. Ves kol ashelo. Now he doesn't mention his wife. That's interesting. If I remember, the commentaries say that either he was not married, although he had children, but somehow his wife was not, didn't exist anymore, or she was not aware. Because why are they going to punish his family? Because they should have stopped him. you know, everyone's culpable if they have the ability to stop someone from wrongdoing. And they didn't. But the wife, either she didn't exist, so that's why she's not mentioned in the punishment process that we're learning now. Or it was because his wife didn't know about it, or she had no way of stopping him. These are different interpretations of why does the wife not appear. V'eskola shalom, and everything that was his. V'kol Yisrael imo, and he took the whole Jewish people. So this whole ceremony of the punishment of Achan is a national affair. V'yalu osam emek Achor. So he took them up to the valley of Achor. So a couple of points about this valley. First of all, the name Achor, we're going to see Achor means to be messed up. Now, that the reason why the valley was given that name is because of this event. In other words, the name Achor comes from the fact that Achan, who committed the great crime and therefore caused the calamity for the Jewish people and is going to have a very severe punishment. So, like, this whole mess is why the valley is called Achor, because the word Achor means to be ruined. And the second point about this valley is, why does it say he took them up to the valley? I mean, usually if you're going to a valley, you're not going up, you're going down. So just a geographical answer, the commentaries say is that, yeah, the valley is a low place, but in order to get there from where they were, outside Ahai, they had to go up first, and then they went down into the valley. Vayomer Yehoshua, me'achartanu ya'akarcha Hashem, vayom hazeh. So Yehoshua says, you have brought ruination to us, and just as you have brought ruination to us, Hashem will bring ruination to you on this day. This is what Yehoshua says in bringing Achan to justice and his punishment. Vayirgamu oso kol Yisrael ebed, and all the Jewish people threw stones at him. Vayisrafu osam ba'esh, and then they burned them in fire. From the literal reading, you have a couple of steps here. First, the Jewish people threw stones at him, Achan. But the commentaries say, when it says they burned, it doesn't mean they burned the people, Achan and his family. It means he was thrown stones at. That was stage one. Vayirgamu oso kol Yisrael eved. The Jewish people threw stones at Achan only. And then, vayisrafu osam ba'esh. They burned the loot. They burned the mantle and the gold, etc., and the tent with fire. And then they piled stones on top of them. Who's them? The children and the animals of Achan. Again, that would help to explain why it changes from singular to plural, and why there's different punishments. What's the stoning? What's the burning? So again, you have stoning singular to Achan. Then you have burning plural on the property, which is the loot and the tent of Achan. And then stoning plural is going on his children and his animals. So the Jewish people set up a great big heap of stones on top of Achan, Ad Hayom Hazeh, and it's there until this day. That could be when Yehoshua was writing this Sefer, Yehoshua, or it could be even later in history. Vayashav Hashem Mecharon Apo. And then Hashem turned back from his wrath. In other words, his anger was subsided because they had taken care of the crime of violating the ban and the criminal who had committed it. Al kein kara shem hamakom ahu emek achor ad hayom hazeh. So this is why that place was called the Valley of Ruination until today, because of what happened in the story of Achan. This concludes chapter 7. So let's summarize what we learned. Achan, from the tribe of Yehuda, took from the forbidden goods of the spoils of Jericho, and the whole Jewish people is blamed and suffers for that. Yehoshua sends spies to see how they should capture Ha'ai. The spies say, oh, don't send a big army, just 2,000 or 3,000 people. So they send 3,000 soldiers, and then the people of Ha'ai totally beat us, and 36 casualties. So Yehoshua mourns the loss, as well as the elders. Yehoshua asks Hashem, why did you even bring us across the Jordan? We better stay on the east side. Over here, we're just dying. All the Canaanite nations are going to hear that, you know, we failed in our mission, and Hashem's reputation will be besmirched. So Hashem says to Yeshua, get up. You know, what are you complaining about? The Jewish people sinned. Somebody stole from the ban, the forbidden property. And until you get rid of it, you got to be vulnerable in front of your enemies. So they have the selection process to find out who is the perpetrator. They narrow it down from the tribe of Yehuda and subfamilies all the way to Achan. He admits his crime, prompted by Yehoshua. They find the property in his tent, buried. They take it, along with Achan, his family, his animals, and they stone and burn them in the Valley of Achor.